trainer Kelly Breen took over for Enze Fire last year. He's had him for 9 starts now. He's won 4 of those 9 starts for Kelly, who joins me on this Saturday morning. Hey, Kelly, thanks for some time this morning, my friend.
How are you?
Doing great. I'm doing even better when I see this horse's name in the entries. I got to tell you, Enze Fire, if you love horse racing, he is, to me, he's what the sport epitomizes. I mean, he is just, he's such a cool horse.
He's a pretty neat horse to be around, too.
Well, I was going to ask you that. You know, when you took him all, and it's kind of hard not to, you know, get into this when you talk about him. You took him over under less than ideal circumstances after the events of March 9, 2020. The horse was dispersed from Jason Service and Jorge Navarro. Ron Lombardi and Mr. Amore of Mr. Amore Stables turned Enze Fire over to you. He was coming off a nice little win streak, 3-race win streak for his prior trainer. What was that like, taking a horse of his caliber over under such extenuating circumstances?
For the beginning for me was a little frustrating because we were under major quarantines and I didn't get to see this horse for the first month or so because I was down in Florida. So everything that I was seeing was either video or pictures from John Atfield, my assistant, and, you know, visually trying to tell me that he's a, you know, good looking muscular horse and, you know, can't wait to run him. And, you know, first time that we get to run him, it's what we don't think that he really likes is in an off track and, you know, major frustration. I know they ran fast in his first race back, but you want to talk about major frustration to try and figure it out. Like, is this horse as good as we think he is or what's going on? And me not being able to see him for the first part. When I finally did get to see him, it was like, hey, this is a real horse. You know, in layman's terms, this is a real horse. He's just muscle on muscle. He might have put so much muscle on, it might have caused him to not be a router anymore. You know, more of a sprinter type. Maybe he can get as much as a mile right now, but he's not a what you would look at as a two-turn horse, and you know what I'm talking about by muscle on muscle.
Yeah, I think people, you know, he's become such an accomplished sprinter. Third in the Breeders' Cup sprint last year. He won 3 races as well, including the Vosburgh, a win and you're in for the sprint from last year. He's in another win and you're in on Sunday in the Nehrud. People forget this horse won the Champagne over eventual 2-year-old champion Good Magic back in 2017. His Dwyer, you know, was put under a microscope by many. I mean, his Dwyer, the 107 buyer speed figure that afternoon and the ton of money he took that day, I think there was a, you know, a little bit of a red flag on that Dwyer. It takes nothing away from his performances, though. And I think it's kind of anointed him as a Belmont Park horse, but the fact of the matter is he's won half of his 14 career victories elsewhere.
To me, he's brought his track. I've even run him at Gulfstream. He brought his track with him. He ran well in the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland. He's a top-notch horse, and that's where the money's at. If you wanted to be a horse for a course, Belmont's a pretty good track to be a horse for a course for. But he brings his track wherever he goes. He's won at I think it was Laurel, Penn National, Aqueduct Belmont. He's a genuine nice horse.
You talked earlier about the slot, and you know those 2 races. It really, his only 2 blemishes for you were that Carter and the Forgo. And you know, along the lines of, if you want to be a horse for a course at Belmont Park, how much can you really hold sloppy tracks in the Carter and the Forgo against the horse? You know what I mean? And you really can't. With that said, we had Dan Bork on from Ellis Park. It seems like everybody this week has been affected by the abundance of rain in the United States. I'm sitting on top of the finish line. It looks sloppy right now here at Belmont. There's a chance for a little bit more rain. is there any situation where he doesn't run tomorrow based on the racetrack, or is all systems go?
Right now, it's all systems go. We don't have a backup plan. This is what we have. I think that we're going to have a good close to 24 hours. If there's going to be any rain today, should be done by 5 o'clock, and then we're going to have 24 hours for – there'll be all day harrowing it during the races yesterday and working on it. I think we're going to have a pretty good track. And I mean, knock on wood, I'm knocking on the barn here right now, just that I think that we'll have a good track.
I know it's always a race at a time, but this race tomorrow, this Nehrud, is a winning you're in for the Breeders' Cup Sprint, a race he's tried a handful of times in his career. Is that the year-end plan?
The Breeders' Cup is the main goal. You know, if there's the Vanderbilt also at Saratoga, something like that. But we're one race at a time. But the main thought of him is having a nice, healthy horse for the Breeders' Cup.
Talking with trainer Kelly Breen, sends out Firenze Fire, a 3-5 morning line favorite in Sunday's John A. Nehrud here at beautiful Belmont Park. You know, you snuck something in a little earlier. Up to a mile. Do you fight the urge sometimes? For example, the Met Mile comes up with a field of 6 this year. And, you know, his class and his ability certainly would have put him in the mix. I mean, he ran faster than most of the horses in that race in his career. Do you fight that urge to stretch him back out sometimes?
A little bit. You know, I think Ron and I are on the same plane as to where he's at, what the long-term goal is. Knowing that the race was coming up light, speaking with Andrew Burns as the stakes coordinator, and when we started out maybe 60-40 as to where we were going to go and if we were going to try a Met Mile. So I don't know how far he's limited to, but right now we're trying to keep him sprinting. I'd love for the Breeders' Cup Sprint to be like the Phillies and to be 7/8 instead of 3/4, because I think he gets an easier pace. And when you get to the Breeders' Cup race like last year, I think he was outfooted in the beginning of the race. And those horses are going extremely fast. And, like, I'm looking at the PPs right now for this race, and it's not one of those 21-44 kind of paces. I think that And you get that in the Breeders' Cup. And even if they went Breeders' Cup of Keeneland this year, it wasn't off the charts fast. They were running. You know, those horses, they're speedier than most. And if we can keep this horse in a pace like where he can go the half mile in close to 46, you know, 45 and change, that he should be able to do it. And at that pace, he probably could get the mile. But right now, we're sticking to our guns to keep him in sprint races and really gear up for the Breeders' Cup.
Well, you'd be really good at this, by the way, because you've been giving perfect segues. You have the PPs in front of you for the Nehrud tomorrow. There, quite frankly, isn't a lot of speed on paper. I think a lot of handicappers, including myself, thought American Power would set the pace in the True North. He didn't. He's back in here. The horse has set the pace in the True North was Firenze Fire. You look at a race like this, it's very similar to the True North. You have American Power coming back in here. You have Wicked Trick coming back in here. So you got a couple of horses that you faced last time out in here. You have some horses cutting back in distance, like Top Seed and Three Technique and Doubly Blessed. And Mind Control is going to make his first offer trainer, Todd Pletcher. None of those horses really have any speed. And Arad Ortiz Jr., your regular pilot, is back. Arad, of course, missed 2 weeks, including the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival, for a spill back on June 3rd. But he's back and riding as well as anyone. Do you give him instructions tomorrow? Do you tell him, hey, you know, Jose put him on the lead last time. It looks kind of similar. Or do you just let him ride his race?
We didn't even give Jose instructions last time. You know, it's kind of, we're pretty, I don't want to call it open-minded for something like this. But you have IRAD, you have Jose Ortiz. Those guys know the track like the back of their hand. They know how the track is playing that day. They own the track. So to have IRAD is just a bonus for us. And we're in his hands. So I feel pretty confident. I feel pretty good that we got the top jocks, know the horse, know the track. We should be in good shape.
How important is the winning your in element for you? Obviously, you know, it's nice to win these races like the Nehru, the $250,000 and the Grade Two, but the Breeders' Cup has put this fantastic program together. I'm sure it affects the decision as to whether running sources, knowing that if he wins, I mean, look, he's 3-5 to win a Grade Two and stamp a stick to the Breeders' Cup sprint. It's got to play a little role in the decision-making process, no?
Oh, for sure. For sure. It's very nice for them to have all of these races for the Breeders' Cup. And you do put a little circle around certain races that, even if you're a longer shot and saying, you know what, for an East Coast guy to go out to Del Mar and to have all your expenses paid for, it does make you feel better. And it does put a little bit of a target on it to say, let's look at this race. This is, you know, it's a serious amount of money that you don't have to come out of pocket for. It does make the choice a little bit easier, I think.
Yeah, I think a lot of fellow conditioners feel the same way. Before we let you go, there's two stakes on the card tomorrow. The Manila will be run the race prior to the John Nehru. The Nehru wraps the card as race 10, race 9. It's a gamble. Same connections. Joel Rosario is going to ride field of 8 in that Manila. That's going a mile on the turf. He's a pretty useful horse as well. He's won both surfaces already. Talk about it. It's a gamble a little bit.
You know, I'm not sure if he's really a closing sprinter, if that's his forte, but he is a nice-looking homebred, New York bred, and I don't know if this was going to be our top spot, but when we were circling races and Ron Lombardi said, hey, we could have two in the same day, let's do it. You know, he really enjoys the racing aspect of the game and just make it for a fun day. And, you know, 4th of July, two homebreds in stakes races, it doesn't get much better than this for a guy that's, taking it long-term and watching horses being bred and waiting a couple years before they run. All the power to Ron. I can't be more elated for him to saying, hey, you know, this is what it's all about. And they're in back-to-back races. How much better can you get than that?
No, a couple of stakes at Belmont Park on 4th of July. I cannot imagine it getting better than that. Thanks for some time today, Ken. I know you're busy. You in New York or you're at Monmouth today?
Today I'm at Monmouth on my way to Delaware. I got one in a stake down there. Looks like what's going to be a yielding turf course.
Right. You're in the Kent. You're in the Kent?
Correct. Correct.
All right. Well, best of luck today as well.
Little horse named Yes This Time. He's won his last couple. So we got a shot there. We got a Jersey bred and a little stake race tomorrow. So we got everything. All the wheels are going in the right direction for us. Looking for
Very
a big
important.
Weekend.
Keep going forward, right? Keep moving forward. You've done a really great job just a great job with Frenzy. If I consider everything that's gone on with him, you guys have done a great job. And you mentioned your assistant here in New York, John Atfield. I mean, can't say enough good things about John.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Good guy, good horseman. Kelly, thanks for some time. Best of luck this weekend.
All right, thank you.